If just for a moment, because what I've got to share with you this morning is a serious topic, but it's a joyful one. So, Father, I just pray this morning as we open your word, as we turn to your word, that your Holy Spirit will inspire your word and implant it in our hearts so that, Lord, we live our lives for your glory. Father, I just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I do come, Janet, can you come? And Janet's going to read. And we're reading from Psalm 130, 130. So.
Oops. Yeah. Got your glasses. No, I don't need them for this. I don't really. Psalm 130, a song of ascents. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities.
Okay. Thank you, Jonah. I do love Janet Reading. There's a place for all of us in the church, isn't there? Whatever our ministries is, I've always believed and always preached that in the kingdom of God there is no higher rank. There is no us and them or whatever in the kingdom of God. We're all the same. I remember Billy Graham saying once, many years ago, he said that the reward of the believers is only based on your faithfulness, not based on what you do. And the guy who stands at the door and welcomes people, Edwin, his reward is no greater than the greatest preacher that ever preached. I believe that. Because in the kingdom of God, there is no distinction between up and down or higher class, lower class, nothing like that. And I just thank God for that. Your reward is still the same as my reward. It's based on your faithfulness to what God has called you to do. That's it. Regardless of what you do. And I, as a young person, I used to feel that way. I feel inferior when I look to preachers and think, wow, their reward is going to be great. And then I heard Billy Graham say, yeah, there's no distinction in the kingdom of God on rewards. It's your faithfulness to what God has called you. But this morning, I want to share with you a subject. It's a big subject. And so I'm going to go straight into it. And really, that psalm really echoes what I want to share with you this morning. Verse 4 says this, but there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. The greatest thing in the Christian life is that we've been brought into the kingdom of God. We are saved, sanctified, and made righteous in the sight of God. But as human beings, there is an issue with us that we struggle with, and that is forgiveness. And I've met people, and you've heard people say, that they struggle with their salvation and find it very difficult to express anything of the love of God to anyone because of their within them a lack of assurance of salvation. Forgiveness is biblical based from the Old Testament to the New Testament. There is no distinction in the forgiveness of God in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. God forgives those who come to him in repentance. Hebrews 9 verse 22 says, indeed under the law, almost everything was purified with blood. And then he goes on to say, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. The old covenant was the sacrifices of animals, and the blood had to be poured out on the altar for the redemption of those who sacrificed, who gave the animal for the sacrifice and atonement for their sin. But I thank God that in the New Testament, because I think I've said it to you before, I do not like the sight of blood. I'm just that way. I've never been that way. Although in my younger days, I didn't do the training, but I went to inquire because I was going to be a male nurse. And then I don't think I could stomach the sight of blood. In fact, Sandra knows that if it's a program on the television, I just look away. Or we turn it off or we turn it over, because that's me. But I just thank God that Jesus Christ gave his lifeblood on the cross for you and for me. And his sacrifice on the cross, an atoning sacrifice, secured our redemption. And it also brought in the forgiveness of sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 10. I'm going to speak, but I'm going to speak from the Bible, if you understand what I mean. Because I want the scriptures to say to you whatever God wants you to hear this morning. And Romans chapter 6 verse 10 says, the death he died, he died to sin once for all. Once for all. There is no other atonement in the whole of creation that can atone for sin except the blood of Jesus Christ today. The Old Testament, it was a sacrifice, but that was only a foreshadow of that which was to come, because the sacrifice for sin, total sin, for the whole of humanity, was Jesus Christ, and he wasn't born. And when he came into the world, the Bible says that God sent forth his Son into the world to be the propitiation or the removal of sins of the world. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He died for all. There is no distinction. He died, may I say, for the Muslims, for the Sikhs, and for the atheists. He died for the whosoever. He gave his lifeblood for the whole sin of the world, because he was a perfect sacrifice for sin. Not only to redeem us, but also to forgive us. And I don't know whether you understand what the forgiveness of God really is, but I'll tell you something, that no matter what sin you committed, no matter what you're holding on to, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. But the forgiveness is based on the atoning sacrifice of Christ. God cannot forgive until we come to him in total repentance, turning from our sin, forsaking our old life, doing away with it, and turning to him and asking him for forgiveness. And the Bible makes it abundantly clear. I haven't got time this morning, but there's many, many scriptures which say that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. God cannot fail but to forgive you your sin if you totally repent. So the problem is with people in the, today, and I think it's not preached enough, is repentance. There has to come a turning away from your old life. I know in a sense we're all we're all completely going through the cycle of being, in a sense, cleansed, because the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from us, and that word cleanses means it's a continuous cleansing or cleansing and cleansing and cleansing. Because of our human nature, we can't fully understand the impact of sin. The God absorbed, he hates sin to the very core. He can't stand sin, and therefore in heaven, don't think anybody's going to get into heaven and still not be unsaved, because there's no way, shape or form. Heaven is reserved for those who have come to the foot of the cross and acclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and show it by your life. I'm one that believes that when you come born again, no matter what baggage you carry, it may take time for work to, in your life, to purify and to cleanse you, but believe you me, God will do it. He's done it in my life. Things that you hold on to, things that you thought was okay, that's okay. And then all of a sudden when you come to faith in Christ, you realize the Holy Spirit conviction and you realize that that is not right. You have to change. May I state this morning clearly that unless there's a change in your life, I question whether you've really been born again. There has to be, because the Holy Spirit has been sent to make Christ real to us, to reveal him to us, and for us to know him and to know the fullness of his forgiveness. There's so much in God's forgiveness. There's power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power in the blood of Jesus. He can cleanse us, and he cleanses from all sin. But that sin has to be confessed. I'll come to that in a moment. It's a total forgiveness that God offers to everyone who come to him. Psalm 103 verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west. Oh, there's no, you can't imagine that. So far as he removed your transgressions from us. Isaiah 1 verse 8, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, they should be white as snow. The many scriptures we speak that the onus is not on God, it's on us to come to him. Offer of salvation is freely to all. People who are dying in sin, it's not because God wants them to die in sin, it's because they refuse to come to Christ and acknowledge him and repent, turn to him and accept the forgiveness totally of all sin. In fact, Jeremiah 31 verse 34 says, for I will forgive their iniquities and sin. I will remember no more. You know, the only thing God forgets is sin confessed. God can't remember them. And I know I remember somebody saying, and don't you go fishing for them. Once you've been forgiven and you know the forgiveness of God, don't look to the sins of the past. And sometimes people give a testimony and say about things and how bad they are and all that. And I sometimes feel like standing up, yes, thank God for your salvation, but tell what God has done for you now. You are sanctified, you're made holy, you're righteous in the sight of God. You may not know that. There may be still sin in your life. You may be doing things that you don't know are wrong, which are transgression. But if you're open to the Holy Spirit, God will reveal things to you. and you need to turn around and repent. Isaiah 43, verse 25 says, I, even I, this is the Lord saying, he who blots out your transgressions, I will not remember them. So why do you? One of the problems with Christians that are failing to accept the assurance of salvation is the fact that so bad was their past that they don't understand the fullness of salvation that Jesus Christ has done. His work is a complete and absolute work. And once we come to him and repented of our sin, we should live the life that he's called us to. All this is because of his mercy, his compassion, and his willingness to forgive. He's a forgiving God. Daniel chapter 9, verse 9 says, the Lord our God, to him belongs mercy and forgiveness. Though we have rebelled against him, he still wants to forgive you. Micah chapter 7, verse 18 and 19 just says, who is the Lord like you? Pardoning iniquity because he delights in mercy. Verse 19 says, and cast all your sins. He cast all your sins in the depth of the sea. Those of us who have been around a long while, I don't know if you remember singing a song, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. Do you know? Oh, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. It's an old one. But it's true. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. Is it? Do you really understand the fullness of your salvation? That God is so loving, so compassionate, so willing to forgive. Just accept it. He loves to forgive because he loves you so very, very much. But how do I know God's forgiveness in my life? Well, first and foremost, I think it's a basic Christianity teaching, and this is, every one of us has to come to a place where we acknowledge our sin. Without coming to a place and knowing that what you've done in your life has offended God, that you are a sinner in his sight, you have to come to that place where you acknowledge your sin. You have to come to that place, as I've said, where you turn from your sin, willing to give it all up because of his love and his grace and his forgiveness for you and to you. And you need to receive his total forgiveness. John 1 verse 9 says, if we, John, 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, I get that wrong. If we confess our sin, you know the scripture? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans 10 verse 9 says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. No doubt about it. But you need to make that conscious total commitment to him in order to receive his forgiveness. I wonder how many of you here this morning walk in the fullness, the freedom of knowing the peace of God in your life and that your sins are atoned for. There's three basic areas about forgiveness that we need to know. First one is A lot of Christians, because of their misunderstanding or their lack of understanding of the work of salvation, lack assurance that God has forgiven them. I used to do that when I was a young Christian. You know, Lord, I don't know how many times I put my hand up in a meeting. I don't know how many times I asked the Lord into my life. But it wasn't until I realized that you make that decision from the heart. You make it totally and absolutely. And surrender to Him. And you let the Holy Spirit do a work in your life that only He can do. You can't change yourself. No way, shape, or form can you make yourself to be a real child of God. It is done by the Holy Spirit. But God looks on you and me in the Son, and He sees that we are washed, that we are sanctified, that we are absolutely, believe you me, God looks on us as perfect in Christ. No sin at all. Wow. Can you imagine a holy, righteous God looking on a sinner? But then the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, is so powerful that it atones for all sin, and there's no exception at all, that God sees us righteous in His sight because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't cause you to be thankful, to praise Him. What would? Walking in total freedom and peace, knowing the assurance our sins are forgiven. So a lot of Christians in the world are like this with their walk, because they're unsure whether they are totally and absolutely forgiven. Let me tell you, God cannot lie. What God says, He does, and what God says, He means. There is no reason why God would say to Migna, I think you are forgiven. I think I will forgive you, but you are a wretched man.
I agree.
But God doesn't look on us like that. He says, I'm forgiven. You are forgiven. There's no way, shape, or form. And if the devil keeps knocking your heart and life and saying, and there's a big question mark whether you are, kick him out. And tell him in the name of Jesus, I'm a son of God. I'm a righteous person in the sight of God because of Jesus Christ. No one else. No one can do it for me, but Jesus did it for me. I don't deserve it. I haven't earned it. But He loved me so much that He wants to forgive. There is forgiveness with you. Second thing is that we need so peace. And this applies in my heart. I'll come to that in a moment. We need to forgive ourselves. I was going to say I'm not perfect, but to my wife I am perfect. No. No, we need to forgive ourselves. I know in my life I committed a great sin. And for 40 years I lived the Christian life. But I kept asking God to forgive me. And I had the assurance that I was saved, but somehow there was something, because of the nature of the sin, I thought, well, God, you can't forgive me this. It's too big. And then one day I was in the church in Dudley, and we was just worshiping the Lord. I think I've shared it with you before. And I was at the front, and the church, everybody comes to the front to worship. I was worshiping the front. And I was remembering, I just knelt down on my knees because I just felt such a presence of God. I don't know if you've had an experience where God has spoken to your heart and you know that 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 God has spoken to you. It was one of those moments for me. Just out of the blue, God said to me, if there is one sin that my son's atonement work could not redeem and cleanse from, then his sacrifice is incomplete. And I went, wow! Therefore, all sin is atoned for. And even the worst sinner can be forgiven. And it just broke me. Could I tell you, friends, this morning, we need to come to a realization that so God is so faithful, so loving, so just, that he desires to forgive. But sometimes we're not willing for him to forgive. Because sometimes, like me, perhaps you feel it's too much for God to forgive me because it's too big a sin. Tell you what, that taught me that lesson that day. God said, if there is one sin my son could not atone for, then his sacrifice was incomplete. But the Bible says his sacrifice was a perfect sacrifice for all sin, regardless. There is no sin that God cannot forgive. As long as you're willing for him to forgive you, and you have to come to that place where you acknowledge and say, Lord, I receive your forgiveness in my life. And then the other third thing, and this is one that the Lord himself spoke about, I don't want to dwell too much because I just feel this morning might be good for any of us here this morning that I've got some unforgiveness in any way, shape or form. Just come to the front and just work, have a time of just ministering, and you do whatever you feel you need to do. But the third thing is what the Lord spoke about. And that is forgiving others. I say this to you this morning. Your forgiveness is based on your willingness to forgive. If you cannot forgive those who sin against you, the Bible says it clear, neither will God forgive you. But he's a forgiving God. Yes, he is. We say the Lord's Prayer every week, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But we say it, do we really mean it? Is there anything in your life that you're holding a grudge against, that somebody's offended you or hurt? Then you need to go and speak to that person, of course. But if you hold such a grudge that you don't want to forgive. My brother-in-law's birthday was 90 yesterday. We have nothing to do with him at the moment because my sister will not forgive me. It hurts. But some years ago, my eldest sister passed away, and her husband phoned me up and told me not to tell my sister. Now, I could not because he asked me not to do it. I felt rotten about it. But she found out and she said, I don't want nothing to do with you because you didn't tell me that Brenda had passed away. And I said to her, I said, but Ray told me not to, Mavis. I thought you would have known by June. I'm one of eight. By one of the others, me other elder sister. And she said, no. But then she just said, I don't want to know. I don't want to speak to you ever again. And put the phone down. You know, I'm a twin. My twin brother has spoken to her about it. And I spoke to him a while ago again about it and said that maybe still won't speak to me. If I phone up, she just puts the phone back down. All I can do is pray for her. She's not a Christian. Although one time she did go to a gospel hall and professed to make some form of commitment, of decision for the Lord, but I don't think it was didn't come of anything. I think it's just an emotional thing. Because sometimes when the Holy Spirit moves, it affects our emotions, and people respond out of the emotions, not from the heart. And it's a heart decision that God wants. Not a mind, not emotion or nothing. God wants your heart. Anyway, that's it. She holds that against me to this day. But, you know, I keep talking to my twin brother about it, and he says, I know. I keep telling her that you had no option. He asked me not to. I didn't want to offend him, but I honestly thought she would find out by one of the other kids, one of the other siblings, but she... Anyway. But is there anyone in your life that you need to forgive? In fact, the Lord said, Peter said to the Lord, Lord, how many times have I got to forgive people? In Matthew chapter 18, verse 22... Seven times? What did the Lord respond? No. Not seven times, but 70 times seven, which literally means unlimited. If Jesus forgives you unconditionally, you need to forgive others unconditionally. And ask forgiveness with God is tied to our willingness to forgive others. If we're not, then the Bible makes it clear in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, Jesus said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Luke 6, verse 37, Jesus said, forgive and you will be forgiven. There's no question about that. Because harbored sin in the sense of forgiveness not only affects the person who you haven't need to forgive, it affects your life. It affects your walk with the Lord. You find yourself very hard to press into God. You find things very difficult to God because you're holding a grudge against somebody. Be in the church or outside the church, doesn't matter. The Bible doesn't say whether believers or unbelievers. It just says everyone we need to forgive. If you don't, it affects your life. It can actually, if I can be bold and say, it can affect your life to death. Because even in the early church, the people that was given, and in the teaching of the Apostle Paul, Paul said that we need to forgive one another. And if you don't forgive, you find that that becomes a barrier, a problem in your life. And also in the fact that, in fact, you know, even the early church, I'm bold to say that some of them passed away because of it. And I've known people. I know one guy in a church in Wales, he stood up because about the move of the Holy Spirit. And he wouldn't forgive the church for what the church was going into. And he stood up in the church, and this is the truth, stood up in the church and said, over my dead body, will I allow this to happen? He was dead within 3 days. And there was nothing wrong with him. So be careful about harboring unforgiveness towards others. Because you never know what's going to come back on you. So basically, that's what I've got to say this morning. And I just feel that it would be good if we just spend the time, if Joan can put some music on in a moment or two, that if you need to come to the front for any reason, perhaps you're lacking assurance, you're not sure of your salvation, Perhaps you're not saved, but I don't know. I don't know. Perhaps you need to seek God's forgiveness. Perhaps you need to forgive yourself, that like me, you need to come to that place where the Holy Spirit so breaks into your life that you realize that I am forgiven. I am totally, absolutely forgiven. And there may be things in your life, others that you need to forgive. I don't know. Whatever the reason why we play some music. If you want to come forward, and let's just, if you want to come and kneel, I'll join you at the front. I've got nothing in my life that I need to forgive others, except my sister, of course. I do forgive her. But whatever is in your life, because God wants you to be free. I knew the Son set free. He's free indeed. And that's what God wants you to walk in. Fullness of life and freedom. Knowing that you are forgiven. Knowing that you forgive yourself. Knowing that you forgive others. Knowing the fact that with him, as the psalmist said, there is forgiveness. So, Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth of your word. You are a forgiving God. You delight to forgive. Lord, I pray this morning that if there's anything in our hearts that we need to come and just lay before you and say, Lord, I just lay this before you now. Lord, help us this morning, because, Lord, you want us all to go from this place free and knowing the freedom of Jesus in our life, knowing that every debt has been paid, everything settled. There is no record of wrong in heaven. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you cleanse us perfectly, wholly, absolutely righteous before you, because you have forgiven us of all our sins. And we do thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you paid the price for our sin and that you gave your life so that we may have life and enjoy life to the full. John 10:10 says he gives us abundance of life. Help us, Lord, to enter into more abundant life with you as we lay everything down this morning before you. In Jesus' name, amen. You put some music on, Joan. If you want to come forward, I don't know if anyone wants to just come and ask God's forgiveness if you need to. Ask God to really come into your heart and life in a way that you never known before, that you may know his forgiveness totally in your life, so that you may experience the abundance of life that Jesus Christ offers to you this moment.